Now, we began at the Lord's instruction in praying about my part of this convention to go back to the very basic fundamentals of the name of Jesus, why it's so powerful, how was it ministered to him? Where did it come from? And the greatness of Jesus' name, the greatness of it. And we talked about the greatness of his name. Jesus inherited his name from God. We found that out in Hebrews chapter 1, the first 5 verses. He inherited his name. So the power in his name can only be measured by the power of the one from whom he inherited it.
That's right.
That's the only way you can measure it. Measured by the power of God, the size of the city, size of the state, size of the nation. You can't measure the power behind the name of Jesus. He humbled himself even to the cross. The second chapter of the book of Philippians, we read it. Humbled himself even to death and became a sacrifice for your sins and mine, your sickness and mine, your disease and mine, your poverty and mine. He was made to be sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. That's magnificent. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. So, and we talked about that. His name was conferred upon him by the Father. Conferred upon him. The Father called him by his name. Amen. It was conferred upon him. Philippians chapter 2. Let's turn there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you. You have to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. You let that mind be in you because you are a joint heir with the Son of the living God. Joint heir. Jim Tomlin, joint heir. Glory to God. Krista, joint heir. Not sub heir. Sitting. He sits at the right hand of the Father. We sit at the right hand of Jesus. We've been raised up with him. Made to sit with him in the heavenlies. Praise God. That name, which is above every name, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and had given him not a name. We went to several different translations. He gave him the name. Gave him his name. The name beyond pronunciation. It's spelled in Hebrew, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Oh, I was just lying in bed one night. I said, oh, God, teach me the name And, oh, it just flooded my spirit. And for a while, I could hardly say it. And I began to realize the awesome respect that the scribes of old had for that name. Before they would write it, they would leave and bathe and put on clean clothes before they would dare write that name. I don't care if it was 15 times on one page. You bathe 15 times before you write that name. We have a lot to learn. Yes. Amen. I'm like Brother Hagin. The more I know, the more I realize how much I don't know. We know so little, but we're gaining on it, praise God, because of the sweetness of His Spirit to put up with this little children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And that name. Now, He achieved the authority in His name by conquest. Let's look in the book of Colossians. I'm going to start with the 10th verse of the second chapter. And you are in Him. That started out good, didn't it? You are in Him made full, and having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. He is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. And we're in Him. In Him also, you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, but in a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ, the stripping off the body of flesh, the whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lusts. Now listen to me. In the Spirit, I am totally convinced because of that scripture and other scriptures and what the Lord has said to me over the years. In your spirit. Timmy, you have a cut.
Hallelujah.
Scar. Where you died. Where you were killed with the word of God. But nevertheless you live.
Amen.
Not you, but Christ in you.
Amen.
The hope of glory.
Amen.
And Satan can see that. Your spirit has been circumcised by the sword of the Spirit of God. You are marked. You are marked for greatness, and there's a target on you, and Satan hates you. Well, so what? I hate him.
Amen.
God hates him, and I hate him. And however much I love God, that's how much I hate him.
Amen.
But I've learned some stuff. Oh, are you listening? Thus, you were circumcised when you were buried with him in your baptism, in which you were also raised with him to a new life through your faith in the working of God as displayed when he raised him up from the dead. And you who were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature, God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions. Listen, this is what I want you to get. Let me read it, the 14th verse. blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. But listen, having counseled. Oh, dear Jesus. Oh, Lord. Canceled. Blotted out the handwriting. Canceled. Wiped it out. That's the reason. Tonight, you are not who you used to be.
Amen.
You're not even who you were yesterday.
Amen.
Because every day, as far as God is concerned, is a new day.
Amen.
Yesterday's dead and gone. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now then, his conquest over Satan in hell. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at verse 4 from the Classic Amplified. Besides this evidence, it was also established and plainly endorsed by God, who showed his approval of it by signs and wonders and various miraculous manifestations of his power, and by imparting the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the believers according to his own will. For it was not to angels that God subjected the habitable world of the future of which we are speaking. It has been solemnly and earnestly said in a certain place, "What is man that you're mindful of him?" Or the son of man that you graciously and helpfully care for and visit and look after him. Excuse me. For some little time, you have ranked him lower than and inferior to the angels. Now, what does that mean? Who is Satan? A fallen angel. And all of his emissaries are fallen beings. And we know from Scripture at least a third of the angels followed him in that mess. Well, he is the angel of death. And he had to become obedient to death. Are you listening to me now? Now listen. We had to have faith in him.
Amen.
To be alive.
Amen.
Tracy, he had to have faith to die.
Oh, yes, sir.
He never did anything wrong. He had to yield. What did it say? He humbled himself and became obedient to death. Why? Because of me. Because of you. And he had to go to hell and paid the price. This conquest of the devil. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. You need to search the Scriptures on this. I can only, in these few short times, just kind of skim the surface. Search the Scriptures on this. Luke 11, 22. This is Jesus speaking. The 20th verse. No, let's go on back to the 17th verse. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I with the finger of God, just the finger of God, get, and that's all it takes, or just a word. He cast out the devils with his word and healed all that were sick. Oh, I love it. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. When a stranger, stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him and takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. The devil trusts in fear. That's his weapon. He doesn't have anything. Jesus stripped him of everything else. Amen. And then yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. I'll do that. Matthew 16:19. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but by my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. That's when Jesus changed his covenant name. And he became the Apostle Peter from that day. Gloria and I got married. She changed her name. A covenant was established. Amen.
Amen.
And she has no trouble writing checks in my name. She didn't have to stop and think, I wonder if they'll cash this. I haven't been to Copeland very long. They'd cashed it the first day. Once you got your driver's license changed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Covenant. And it's so revealing right here. I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock. Now what rock? The rock of revelation knowledge. My Father showed you this, that I'm the Christ. You didn't get this out of your head. Upon this rock of revelation knowledge, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And by misreading that, and people thought that the church was built on him. But it wasn't. Amen. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The keys of the kingdom. Not the keys to the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. Big difference. Huge difference. Let me show you some things here. Brother Steve, the janitor of the bank has a key. He can open certain rooms in that bank because he needs to clean them. He has a key. Other employees of the bank have the keys necessary to do their job. But the president of the bank has the keys of the bank. He can open everything in there. Vault, money boxes. He has access to everything in the bank. He has the keys of the bank. You and I have the keys of the kingdom. Amen. And the revelation keys, and we've learned something and about the treasures of God. We've learned something about the healing keys, and we've learned something that not nearly enough yet, but we know some things about the financial keys of the kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it's huge. But here is the treasure chest. And all the keys are in here.
Amen.
They're covenant keys. And they are revelation keys that open treasure vaults of different kinds. Because the name will open every heavenly door. The name is the master key. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
The 2025 calendar is here, a gift from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Experience your year come alive with this daily companion of God's goodness. Each month showcases the beauty of God's creation alongside powerful scriptures, keyword definitions, and encouraging insights that illuminate your path to the good life He has given through His Son, Jesus Christ. Join believers worldwide in our daily Bible reading plan. Together we'll grow in understanding of God's Word like never before, united in faith and purpose. Stay connected with your KCM family. Mark your calendar for powerful events throughout 2025. Whether you join us in person or experience the anointing online, track holidays and national observances, making each day an opportunity to celebrate His faithfulness. Let every moment be filled with purpose and promise. As 2025 comes alive, let it be your year of spiritual growth, surrounded by the beauty of His creation and the power of His Word. Be sure to request your free 2025 Kenneth Copeland Ministries calendar at kcm.org/TV special. Or when you call 800-600-7395. Use this calendar to plan your faith goals, read through the Bible in 1 year, and find a list of KCM events coming soon. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
My name is Blake Evans, and I'm a 2024 KCBC graduate. So I would say I was introduced to KCM when I was at the age of zero. I was born into KCM. My parents have served and attended EMIC for my entire life. And so I've always known EMIC and KCM, which has been such a blessing. I really got into it because the Lord told me to. And I kind of ignored it at first, which isn't a great idea to do. But while I was working here at the ministry between, you know, just trying to figure out what I wanted to do, the Lord told me I was going to go to KCBC. And I just kind of shrugged it off, thinking, you know, no, that's not for me. I've been around this my entire life. I know it all, you know, kind of thing. But one day, Dr. Tony approached me and told me about KCBC and about, you know, the plan and how it's building a foundation and figuring out what your next steps are and what your calling is. And that really sold me. And that's what filled me in the spirit, knowing that KCBC is the place I need to be. We're attending class from 8 to 12 nonstop. And by doing that, we're building a closer relationship with God, but also building a better like relationship with each other as well. So I would say that's probably the biggest thing that I've learned the last couple of years. Yeah, I've always had friends and family, but having an actual KCBC family has been such a blessing. The last week of school on a Tuesday, it was in Fruits and Gifts of the Spirit, and Pastor DeWin was our guest instructor that day, and he was teaching about fruits and gifts for a little bit, and then he ended up started praying over us and giving us words from God, and he gave you a word over me that I'm supposed to go into ministry, and that all the years my parents have spent here serving, willing and diligently serving, isn't just going into their lives, but also going into my life. So it's really cool to see that God has a plan for me and figuring that out just through KCBC the last 2 years. I would say the biggest thing that Pastor Terry was emphasizing and even that Nancy Dufresne said was that be prepared. And that's one of the things that KCBC's done for us this last 2 years is that we're preparing with the word. And if we're prepared with the word, we're ready for any secret attack, any attack that happens. Accepting the call and being willing to do what he tells us to do and doing it by faith and not just being a sissy and not doing any, you know, sissy prayers as Pastor Terry told us, but being willing and trusting all in God. It's crazy to think that I graduated Bible college and that 2 years ago I'd be here, but we are here and I'm relieved and ready for the next steps God has in store for me.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Jesus achieved the greatness of his name by conquest. Colossians 2:15 says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them. Jesus went into the pit of hell and paid the full price for mankind. He defeated all the powers of hell and rendered Satan helpless in every realm. He was the first to be reborn from sin to the righteousness of God, and he gave the authority of his name to the body of Christ. So now we have the power of attorney to use Jesus' name to bring his salvation, healing, and deliverance to this world. We choose to walk in the victory Jesus provided through his death, burial, and resurrection. We can boldly declare that we are seated with him in heavenly places. We now reign with him and have the victory in the matchless name of Jesus. Now, I want to invite you to a special New Year's Eve celebration on December 31st at Eagle Mountain International Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Kenneth Copeland will be there ministering the word of God. So come and enjoy being in the presence of God and in his anointing with other believers in a spirit-charged atmosphere of faith. For all the information on this free event, go to kcm.org. Tomorrow, join Brother Copeland on the broadcast as he reveals the power source that backs the name of Jesus. This is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Find out more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith. Visit our website, kcm.org.